third other pages, page from the back. Third seat. Third. Okay. English. Meal chant. I think that I explained already until the 10 names of Buddha. In the Zen monastery, in the Zen monastery, we use a special eating bowl. Before you open the Buddha bowl, we chant the first one. Buddha was born at Lumbini, enlightened at the Bodhgaya, taught at Varanasi, entered Nirvana at Kshinagara. Now we open Buddha Tathagata's seating bowls. May donors, receivers, and offerings all be free from self-clinging with all sentient beings. We chant this verse, before you open the eating bowl, meditating on the life of Buddha. Because we chant Buddha was born at Lumbini, and he attained enlightenment at the Bodhgaya. Also, he taught at Varanasi. That was the first teaching in his life. So he taught his teaching to five disciples at Varanasi. Varanasi is Benares in the present day. He entered Nirvana at Kshinagara. So we really meditate on the life of Buddha. And then we the Ino means a doan, leading of the meal ceremony, leader of the meal ceremony, chant chanting the triple treasure, meditating on the triple treasure, Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha. That's why he says, in the midst of the three treasures, with all sentient beings, let us recite the names of Buddha. Then we together chant the 10 names of Buddha. So, 10 names of Buddha indicates three treasures: Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha. So, treasure of the Buddha is homage to the boundless Dhammakaya Vairochana Buddha and the complete Sambhogakaya Vairochana Buddha, the manifest Nirmanakaya Shakyamuni Buddha, the future Maitreya Buddha, all Buddhas past, present, and future in the 10 directions. Those are indications of Buddha treasure. The treasure of the Buddha. And Dhamma, treasure of the Dhamma, is next the Mahayana Saddhamma Pundarika Sutra. This is Lotus Sutra. And also last one, the Mahaprajna Paramita. Those two are the treasure of Dhamma. And the treasure of the Sangha is the great Manjushri Bodhisattva, the Mahayana Samantabhadra Bodhisattva, the great compassionate Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva, the many Bodhisattva Mahasattvas. Those are those bodhisattvas are treasure of the Sangha. Then we chant these 10 names of Buddha, meditating on the three treasures, Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha. because they are a great witness for us, whatever we do. So our activity, our life, is always watched over by Triple Treasure, Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha. In other words, we are protected. We are protected. We are embraced by Dhamma, Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha. Otherwise, we cannot exist in this world. We don't pay attention to this, but this is very important. Regardless of whether you understand or not, our life is exactly embraced, protected, and embraced by those three treasures. So we should appreciate this one. That's why we chant this one. Okay. So I think that the last time I explained simply the meaning of the Buddha. do you have some question about this name of Buddha? I think first one, the first three is three bodies of Buddha. In the Buddhology, according to Buddhology, Buddha is considered as the three, Dhammakaya, Sammukkaya, and Nirmanakaya. Okay? The Dhammakaya is the Buddha's body of the truth itself. So Buddha is truth itself. This is called Dhammakaya. Okay? And Nirmanakaya is Buddha's human body. Human body. This is Nirmanakaya. The Sambhogakaya is the Dhammakaya, truth itself, can be manifested in the realm of Buddha's human body. That is called Sambhogakaya. Okay? So, in Sambhogakaya Buddha, I think his body is not merely human flesh, because Dhammakaya, the truth, can be manifested and work. It works every day. So that's why this is called Sambhogakaya. I think the Dr. Khan says between, you know, Dhammakaya, Sambhogakaya, something more than human body, something more than the truth itself. Okay? Because truth and human body, flesh, work together. So his body, his life is not merely truth itself, because it's working every day. And his body is not usual sense of human flesh. So it's quite different. So that's why it is called something more than, he says, something more than the Dhammakaya and Nirmanakaya. That is Sambhogakaya, according to traditional understanding of the Buddha. And that is Dhammakaya Vairochana Buddha, and that is a Dhammakaya, and Sambhogakaya Lochana Buddha. We say Lochana Buddha or Vairochana Buddha, either way. Okay. Sambhogakaya, I mentioned, Sambhogakaya Buddha, Nirmanakaya, Shakyamuni Buddha, those are three bodies of Buddha. The future Maitreya Buddha, this is the Panka Buddha, it's called Dipanka Buddha. Think this Buddha was the past who assured, you know, the Gautama in a previous life that he vowed ultimately attain enlightenment. So Dipankara Buddha, future Maitreya Buddha. Okay? And all the Buddhas, past, present, future, in the 10 directions of Buddhas, Buddhas are everywhere. Okay? Buddhas are everywhere. okay, and all Buddhas, past, present, future, in the 10 directions, future Maitreya Buddha, all Buddhas, past, present, future, in the 10 directions, Mahayana, Saddhama Pundarika Sutra, so those Buddhas teaches their own life, spiritual life, to all sentient beings. This is a teaching. The voice coming from Buddha's heart, naturally, they cannot keep their own secret teaching, secret experience in their own life. The naturally, the maturity of their life coming out from their life. For instance, if you become mature in the painting, if you become mature to compose a poem, the moment when you see the nature, immediately nature and you become one. That oneness makes your life mature inwardly. So that is called mind, spirit. So maturity, the mind immaturity comes out naturally without anybody's force. Without any compulsion by anyone, that is poem. Okay? Art of the poem. So if you have mind immaturity, you cannot keep it just for you. So it's naturally coming up. So that's why this is called teaching. Okay? Teaching. So teaching is the explanation of art of life. Art of life. Just like art of the music, art of sports, anything. Okay? Art of poet, art of painting. So this is a teaching. The great Manjushri, then there are many people who follow their teaching, listen to their teaching and contemplate on those teaching and try to practice those teaching. That is, those persons are called bodhisattva. So traditionally, there are many major bodhisattvas are the great who are great Manjushri Bodhisattva, who is a symbol of wisdom. Okay, we are endowed with a great wisdom, very deep human knowledge, which penetrates every inch of the universe. You can really reach the whole universe simultaneously. This is a wisdom, visibly, invisibly. And that is a symbol of wisdom, a symbol of a wisdom named Manjushri. There is a Manjushri statue there. Two kind of Manjushri statue. One is a Manjushri wearing the beautiful, crowns and decorating and with treasure and riding on lion This is one type. That is a very usual Manjushri statue. On the other hand, the other one is this kind of Manjushri. Manjushri who is exactly the same as monk's shape. Shave the head and wearing a robe like this. That is Manjushri. So, Hashimoto Roshi emphasizes to enshrine this kind of Manjushri. So, this is the original model of the Manjushri he designed and asked the sculptor to make. And then after this one, after making this one, he made a big one, big size of the Manjushri. So this is original, very original. Manjushri and Mahayana Samantabhadra Sutra, Samantabhadra Bodhisattva. This Bodhisattva who take charge of the principle of existence and also practice. Okay. Samantabhadra and the great compassion in Avalokiteshvara, symbol of compassion, understanding human sorrowless, human deep grief, very deep grief, beyond. Human being create beyond consciousness, beyond consciousness or unconsciousness. Anyway, this is very deep grief, suffering, we call suffering. So compassion, Avalokiteshvara, understand this, human suffering. Okay, human suffering is not something we create on purpose. No. Before you think, before you poke your head into human life, you know, we already have a certain deep suffering, deep grief. In many ways, I say that grief originates from reflection, continuous reflection upon ourselves, seeking for something more than consciousness or unconscious world. Conscious world or unconscious world. You don't know what it is. You don't know what you are doing. That's why many people say you have to see what you are doing, what's going on there. Well, you have to see. But that suffering is very difficult to know. So that is a very deep suffering. So that is this Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva. Listen to this voice, accept this voice, and help this human grief. So the great compassion of Avalokiteshvara, the many bodhisattva mahasattva. So there are many bodhisattvas in this world. Myriad bodhisattvas there. So next, the Mahaprajna Paramita. This is also teaching. Okay. Then next, leader chant the next verse. This meal of 10 advantages give us physical and spiritual well-being and promotes pure practice. this verse is we chant this verse at in the breakfast only, in the breakfast. So originally we say the gruel, this gruel instead of the food, this food, because in the monastery it is a custom for the monk to eat the gruel, rice gruel, every morning with sour, salty, plum. this is a very traditional. Every day, we eat rice gruel. So, this gruel of 10 advantages give us physical and spiritual well-being. The next, it says, retribution is boundless. And in the consummation of eternal bliss. Okay. But here says, this meal of 10 advantages gives us physical and spiritual well-being and promotes pure practice. Well, someday I want to brush up this English once more again with Emil-san's help. But temporarily I say that this, the last two lines are a little bit different. Retribution is boundless and in the consummation of eternal bliss. Okay. So let me say about 10 advantages. There is no note. Ten advantages of the gruel, rice gruel. So first one is, a physical lustrous health. I think your physical body shines, in a sense. Shiny. Physical body becomes very shiny. I think Tomoe said if you eat the gruel, rice gruel, and with the sour and salty plum every morning, you can keep the balance of what? Can't you hear? pH balance. You understand the pH balance. Okay. You can have pH balance. Okay. That's what Tomoe doctor says. So, very naturally, your bodies become shiny, okay? Because very pure. Your body becomes pure, getting pure. And next, strength, it means increase of vigor. Very naturally, you can get the vigor. Your body, your physical condition becomes very vigorous. Okay. Third, longevity, to be long-lived. Okay. And fourth, joy, which means physical joy without overeating. So I think gruel, rice gruel, is very well digested, very quickly, without giving too much pressure on your stomach, etc. So very digestion goes pretty well. Okay. So you can have physical joy without overeating. Okay. Also, if you eat too much, overeating the rice gruel, you have to go to the bathroom again and again. It makes you busy. So you cannot eat, overeat. So next, eloquence, a clean and refreshing speech. Very naturally, I think if your body becomes very clean and shiny and physical joy and also the longevity means that your life, your the total condition, total physical condition is going very quietly, smoothly, without going up and going down, very smoothly, just like a big river, a stream of big rivers, going smoothly. So that's why you can use your energy very nicely, evenly. So that's why you can live long. And next, very naturally, your speech, your language becomes gentle and soft, okay, and refreshing. And next, removing the old food, which means no remains of food you have eaten, and no heartburn. So you never have heartburn with rice gruel, because pretty good digestions. And next, they not catch a cold. In the morning, I think the gruel makes your body warm very naturally. And the eighth, well digestions. You can have a well digestion and nutritions. Next, the no thirst, quenching your thirst. So in the morning, I think we need a lot of water. So I think if you have gruels, you can naturally have water. So you can quench your thirst. And next, good evacuations. Good evacuation. Naturally, you can you can evacuate the once every day, naturally. So this is a 10, anyway, advantages, okay? And the leader chant the almost the same things at lunchtime. This food of three virtues and six tastes we offer to Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, and to all life in every world. So I think this is also in offering the three virtues and six tastes to Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, all beings everywhere in the Dhamma world receive them and are nourished. Okay, so three virtues means right and softness means rice, steamed rice must be soft and the fluffy. And the second, cleanness. The food must be cooked in clean way, always cleanly. So that is the cleanness, second. Third is the need to cook food according to the Dhamma as it is, so as to make the most of its peculiar flavors. So when you cook vegetable and any kind of vegetables, you have to you have to be cautious of using the vegetable by understanding the it's on the peculiar flavor. If you cook too much, you kill the anyway peculiar flavor. If you don't cook, sometimes it's not good. And also, if you put the carelessly many food vegetables in one pan, like a miso soup, and like you put the onion and green onion and potatoes and the tomatoes, etc., you cannot taste real peculiar taste of each food possess. Tomato, onion, it's not good combinations. So when you make a soup, I think there are some, you know, ideas. The potatoes is very good with tofu or tofu and onion, something like this. So if you have a not good combination of the vegetables, you can easily destroy its own peculiar flavor. Okay? That's why we need to cook food according to the Dharma as it is. Dharma as it is means vegetable possess its own peculiar flavors as it is, complete beyond your speculation. So we have to understand the life of vegetable, life of carrots, life of tofu, life of potatoes. And then you have to cook something like this. Okay, that is the three virtues. Six taste is bitter, sour, and sour. First one is a bitter. Second, sour, sweet, hot, salty, and plain taste. Plain taste is very important. I think, as you know pretty well, strictly speaking, Japanese food is very plain taste. So I think not Japanese food is not that available for everyone, so, because too plain. Which is quite different from Chinese and the Western food. Chinese food has lots of oil, and the Western food is also oil, and lots of oil there. But Japanese food, strictly speaking, are very simple, very plain taste. So, as a business, I don't know Japanese food can be available for the business. You have to think carefully how to serve Japanese food to, you know, Americans and Europeans. It's very big questions. because the plain taste is based on Buddhist teaching, I think Buddhist teaching is called emptiness, and also in order to make the most of the peculiar flavor which each vegetable possesses. So very naturally, you can't put too much salt, too much sweet. You can't put too much seasoning. Okay. So between, it's very hard to do this. Okay, that is a sixth taste. All right. And also next we chant the five graces at meal. the second seat from the bottom. After serving, before eating, we chant this one. After serving everyone, innumerable labors about brought us this food. We should know how it comes to us. As we receive this offering, we should consider whether our virtue and practice deserve it. As we desire the natural condition of mind to be free from clinging, we must be free from greed. To support our life, we take this food. To attain the Buddha way, we take this food. Well, originally, before each verse, we put the number, so-called first, second, third, fourth, fifth. So we say, first, innumerable labors brought us this food. We should know how it comes to us. Second, receiving this offering, we should consider whether our virtue and practice deserve it. Third, desiring the natural order of mind, we should be free from greed, hate, delusions, ignorance. Fourth, to support our body, we take this food as good medicine. Originally it says, good medicine. In Japanese, gyoko means a form of human body. And human body as the kind of a place where we create many kinds of sickness. And the last word given by the Buddha Shakyamuni, this is called Parinirvana Brief Admonition Sutra. This sutra is given by Buddha right before he was passing away. So in this sutra, it says, just take enough to support your body and avoid hunger and thirst. bhikkhus, in receiving all food and drink, you should accept it as medicine. Do not take more of what you like and less of what you dislike. Well, actually, in China, India, when Buddha Shakyamuni was alive, every day, every morning, he had to practice begging to receive the food from the people. So completely, you cannot get more even though you like it. So the food you received from the people is your food a day. Beyond less or much. So, he says, in receiving all food and drink, you should accept it as medicine. Okay. What is a medicine? Because it is in order to recover the sickness of human body, which is called hunger and thirst. Okay. That's why later he said, just take enough to support your body and avoid hunger and thirst. I think if you have a practice of fast, you can notice how important food is in our life. So very naturally, hunger becomes sick. So you lose vigor. And also simultaneously, you feel thirsty. So you need lots of water. So if you don't drink water, I think you become sick. So that is very basic sickness, hunger, thirst. So in order to be free from hunger and thirst, you have to take your food as a medicine. Food is just medicine for you. That Buddha mentions here. That's why he says too, and the fifth, to attain the Buddha way, we take this food. Okay? Well, a few things. Number one, first, innumerable labors brought us this food. We should know how it comes to us. It indicates expressing our gratitude toward food. Okay, this is the first one. We should express our gratitude toward food. This is first one. So we have to consider, meditate many things. There are many things, such as farmers' hard work, the process of the growth of a rice plant, supported by the sun, warmness, rains, the humidities, human effort, etc., beneficial of nature, and the hard labors of people involved. How many people involved? Many things invisible. Too, we have to meditate on those many, many things, visible, invisible. Then we should appreciate. We should express our gratitude. This is the first verse. The innumerable labors brought us this food. We should know how it comes to us. Second, receiving this food, we should consider whether a virtue and practice deserve it. We should eat not only with some reasons of satisfying the hunger or emphasizing the right to eat because of our work, but we should deeply reflect upon whether our behaviors are proper or not, right or not, something missing or not. We deeply reflect upon ourselves. So that is second. So second verse indicates our deep reflection, the deep reflection upon our human life. That is a second. Third, desiring the natural order of mind, we should be free from greed, hate, ignorance. That is cultivating human personality, human life. This is a third. Third indicates we have to practice anyway. Deepening, cultivating the soil of human life. Okay. This is a practice. Constantly we have to cultivate the soil of human life. So, meditating on desiring the natural order of mind, we should be free from greed, anger, ignorance. think last Saturday I mentioned three poisons can be considered in terms of ordinary people's eyes, but a bodhisattva's eye, the three poisons becomes the three wheel, threefold wheel, wheel, W-H-E-E-L. Wheel means the from Sanskrit term mandala. In peace, in harmony, completely beyond human speculation. This is called mandala. Okay. So we call wheel. If mandala is translated into Chinese, we say wheel. Okay. Dhamma wheel, we say so. So wheel. Okay. So bodhisattva can turn three poisons into three wheels. So, feel of greed. So, feel of greed means you should have, you should see constantly magnificent and immutable world, and imagining and magnificent, boundless, and immutable visions, future visions, and views on life, on world, constantly, under all circumstances. Then try to be present there, try to move toward that constantly. At that time, that effort makes the three poisons into, anyway, wheel of greed. So that is called great grief. Greed. Greed. Not grief. Greed. But in the ordinary people always use the greed as a poison. Okay? But a bodhisattva use it as wheel. Okay? The total manifestation of a whole universe. So there is a huge the magnificent, boundless, beautiful and immutable world and future visions constantly we have to see, and we have to move toward that, and we have to try to be mindful of it. Okay? Under all circumstances, this is important effort. Okay? Then that greed is used as a big scale. Okay. And then next, the fear of anger. So, if you constantly see huge, magnificent and boundless and immutable, beautiful world and the future visions and views constantly and moving toward that, at that time, even though you see or you face a certain uncomfortable, unfavorable conditions, you cannot react swiftly or carelessly on that situation according to usual sense, okay? According to your impulsion. Okay? Sometimes, if you look at the human beings, particularly walking in the downtowns at night, you know, I think you experience some very much almost every day. Somebody, anyways, step on your toes, and then immediately people scream and start to fight each other. But if you say, I'm sorry, even though they try to hit, you shouldn't bark quickly. So you should make you calm down. You should make yourself calm down and then, well, deal with that situation as best as we can, in peace, in peaceful way and harmonious way. Okay? So at that time, you can turn the poison off. You can use the anger as not poison, but as heal. Okay? So even for a moment, make your mind calm, calm down right now, right here. Then deal with it. That is very tiny, not big deals. You have to practice in every day, everywhere. Okay? This is Bodhisattva practice. And that practice is simultaneously turning the fear of ignorance, delusions, not as a poison, okay? Expressing as a expressing of a whole universe, with working with all sentient beings. That practice is really small, not big deal, small deal, and also very quiet, calm, not showy practice. Okay? So that's why Sutra says the continuous practice. Sutra says practice secretly, walking within. Okay. W-O-R-K, walking within. That's practice secretly. You don't see exactly what the practice is. Very secret. You don't show it. Because even for a moment, you make your mind calm and be quiet and deal with the situation. Then you have to decide what you should do it. You stay here or you should leave. This is not a big deal. Small things you can do. But within, inside, that practice really makes your life mature. Okay? And people say you are stupid. Okay? But if you think you are how stupid you are because you are completely beaten by somebody else, you know, but you didn't react. You didn't react on that somebody's unfavorable behaviors. So you can know how stupid you are, but you don't react carelessly on that stupidity. That is really Buddha nature. You can see Buddha nature. For instance, most people try to take care of human life with individual will. Okay? Of course, will is important. You have to decide with your will. Yes. But most of the case, you experience bitter, really bitter, with your strong will. Most people at that time hate himself and try to escape and get something else. But bitterness is pretty good for us. So when you see the bitterness, think you should make your mind calm and deal with the bitterness. Then, very naturally, you can know a total picture of your will is. How much your will is working every day. How much your will fit into every circumstances you are facing. And that circumstances are constantly changing. You don't have any particular patterns. Your will should fit if you have these patterns. Or that pattern. No. You have to open your eyes, constantly you have to think, consider how to fit. So most of the case, we experience bitter. So practice is very quiet. So Dogen Zen says, continuous practice in the monastery must be carried on calmly, very calm, not joy, not exciting. You have to do very calmly, but very steadily, very steadfast. This is the practice Buddha's teaching. Number four, just take enough to support your body and avoid hunger and thirst. Hunger and thirst, I mentioned before, already this is a very basic human sickness. And also fifth, to attain the Buddha way, we take this food. If you have a purpose of human life, that is, purpose, goal of human life, what? To attain the Buddha way. Anyway, forever, we try. Not in order to achieve your job for today, or for tomorrow, or for future, your futures, but for attaining the Buddha way means you have to learn constantly what is the human life is, life and death, which has been lasted from the past to the present to the future. What is life and death? It's huge. In the world, in the realm of life and death, there are countless, myriad beings. You have to learn every day. But your lifetime is not long enough to learn all sentient beings, each of all sentient beings. You have to learn life after life. This is attaining the Buddha way. Okay? So even though you don't understand your life, it is fine. But it's not fine. You have to continue to learn. Because you have to learn each pores. You have to learn your emotions, your mind. How much you can learn. And also it is connected with somebody's, and it is connected with your past life. It's a very complicated situation appears always right in front of you. So very often we don't know that your actions, your life, you know, right under your nose. Okay. So that's why this is ideal image of human life. Fifth is ideal image. Fourth indicates the purpose of human life. Okay. Purpose of the meal, why we have to meal, we have to have a meal. This is a purpose. So, the appreciation, gratitude, reflection, and cultivating the soil of human life, which is called practice, and the purpose of the meal, and also ideal image of human life. This is five ways at meal. Do you have a question? So usually if you want to chant the meal sutra at your home, you can chant this only the five grace at meal, or the rest of the verses after five graces. Okay. Either way.